Oh, that is probably my most favorite Karen Drucker song in the whole world. I love that one. That makes me a little verklempt. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I am the senior minister here of this beloved community. And that was such a good choice of songs, because I'm speaking this month, and in the coming year I'll be speaking a lot about what that means to be part of a beloved community. So really beautiful song. Anytime you want to do that one, it works for me. So you kind of got the feel for what's going on. It's November. We always do, we dedicate November to taking care of the business of church. And as Tracy and Julie so beautifully demonstrated, they kind of covered all the little pieces of what needs to be talked about today. And I'm going to tie it all together. And if you notice, I dragged a little stool from the corner, and I had Elsa stand on the stool. And that's because one of the things I want to talk about this morning is our beautiful Vitura Papke. If you ever wondered why our social hall is called Papke Hall, it's after this amazing woman, Vitura Papke. And you know what was so cute? So she was petite. Like, I think I was going to ask you to come up, Elsa. I didn't know you were already going to be up, so we just took care of that. But there's a good possibility that was made for Vitura to stand on, because she was so short, she stood on a little stool when she would speak. We were very blessed to have her because she is a bit of a celebrity in the religious science teaching, in as much as she was one of the original licensed practitioners taught by Dr. Holmes. And not only that, but Dr. Ernest Holmes had a very close relationship with his wife Hazel, and Hazel passed a couple years before Holmes did, Dr. Holmes did, and then Vitura became Dr. Holmes' personal practitioner. So when she retired and she came to Sun City, she moved from the Los Angeles area into Sun City, and this became her spiritual home. So she was never the, do you remember all of this, Miss Dorothy? Were you around? She used to come in her wheelchair, all dressed in pink. Stand up, Elsa. Stand up, Elsa. So what do you think? Was she about the same size as Elsa? Okay, all right. Thank you, Elsa, again. Yes, she did. I think she lived to be 92, and she, there are some great pictures of her. But, you know, one of the great things that happened was somehow in all her years of ministry, she had never been ordained. And from this perspective, from a religious science perspective, ordination is the highest honor that you have to earn. You just don't get it because you went to seminary. You actually have to be a licensed minister for no less than 3 years. You have to prove that you're doing ministry. And then you go before a panel of your peers to see if they believe that you're qualified. And then we bestow this privilege of ordination. So we have a very high regard for it. And someone figured out she had never been ordained. And so she had her ordination right here on this platform. And so for those of you who have been around a long time and you remember the Peggy Bassett days, that was around Terry Cole Whitaker time, and Peggy Bassett was the minister that had this large religious science church in Huntington Beach, and she came and was the ordaining minister. I know this because I watched all 3 hours on VHS tape of that day. It was long. I think they had a 15-minute Bible reading. It was cracking me up. So, but it was great. And one of my favorite parts about that video, Sue, are you? I know you're busy, but were you here at the ordination? Yeah. Sue Witter was here, and so I'm going to paraphrase a story. One of my favorite stories Sue ever tells me about Vitura Papke. And that is that there's this part at the very end of the ceremony where they say, the ordaining minister says to the one being ordained, and so do you promise to always put ministry first in your life? And do you promise that you will always pray before you do this and that? And do you promise before, and it goes on and on and on and on. So you're kind of making a covenant with the community at that point. And it said that when she got all then you're supposed to say, I promise that, I do. But Vitura said, "Why, no, honey, nobody could do all that." So she was just real. So Elza, when you were up here and you were standing on my platform, it tickled my heart so much. But what was really cool for me was you started talking in, it was like you were channeling Vitura Papke, because she had a really interesting spunk about her. There's a favorite picture of her on Facebook of her on a motorcycle, which then, of course, makes me feel very comfortable filling shoes, which I could never fill her shoes, but... but she probably couldn't walk in mine either. So, so the title of the little book we're going to be studying on Mondays, because every stewardship season, we choose a book or a booklet where we all, as a community, come together as a beloved community, and we focus our attention on something pertaining to prosperity and the well-being of our future. And so to get us all on the same page this year, I chose a little booklet that's written by Dr. Vitura Papke. And we will be studying four chapters on Mondays. There will be a 10:30 a.m. Meeting, and there will be a 6 p.m. meeting. 10:30 is Judy Baker. And they'll probably be meeting in Papke Hall, which is perfect. And 6 p.m. will be with Reverend Cheryl Hawkins. So if you want a strong dose, come at the night. If you want a gentle, beautiful touch, come in the morning. And if you want to stay home and read the book on your own, just to join us in the consciousness of this great truth and this teaching and the hear it through the voice of Vitura Papke, you're invited to do that. My theme quote, because we're talking, my theme for you today is love. And so there's a chapter in that book that you will be doing tomorrow, unless some of you did it last week. In that case, you'd be doing the next one. But the quote I wanted to share with you from Vitura are these words. "The spirit of love through us blesses and prospers and heals as we speak the truth. It is a must if we would have wholeness, wisdom, abundance, and joy." So we're looking at seeding our future, and I like very much that we're starting with this idea of love, because I love this community, and I know for those of you who have been around a while that you love this community, and we sort of have that reputation as being a loving group of people, that we're welcoming and loving, and I love it when visitors share that with me, that they've been around, and that it's always fun to come here because they feel so cared for. So we will talk about, we did all that visioning. You know, how many of you have experienced the visioning process? Raise your hand so I can get an idea. So quite a few of you. In our teaching, thanks to Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith, we have this beautiful way that we come together, and so we do something kind of different. So we pull the committee together. So we got Julie and we got Tracy and me and Clyde, and 1 week Sue joined us, and we visioned three times. But we didn't vision for what we wanted to do for the month, or what we wanted the name to be. We visioned to ask Spirit to give to us the highest ideal of what's possible. And we use this visioning quite often when we're making decisions around anything regarding the stewardship or programs around the church or the center's activities. And what we do is we look for themes. So anything that comes, it's like a meditation where there are questions that are asked to you, and you capture whatever comes through. So some people see imagery, some people hear words or songs, some people get colors, or a distinct sentence, or a word, a strong word. And what we found after three times of sitting together and visioning was that we had this gorgeous, prolific substance that was around seeds and trees and leaves and growth. And so it was really easy for us to see that that had to be what was calling to be the title of our program. And so we unanimously fell in love with this idea of seeding our future. And so we're going to use that title for the rest of the time. And the LEAF is an acronym. So you can remember this. A LEAF is an acronym for love, expectation, abundance, and faith. And so I will review that each week so that you can have that just sort of settle in. But did you notice there's a little naked tree behind me? Who told you you were naked? It was a woman! We have a little naked tree. What we thought we would do is, it's nice to have something visual so that you can see how much you're growing towards your goal. And we do something fun every year. At least the committee always thinks it's fun. but you seem to enjoy it too. We're going to put 50 leaves. Our goal is to get 50 leaves on this tree, because our goal is to collect 50 cards. And we have collected 50 cards in the past. And we would like to exceed that, so we invite you to consider prayerfully that whether or not you want to participate in the pledge program. And the one thing I always like to inform people is, you know, the practice of prosperity, prosperous living, is not just about money. It is about well-being, generally speaking. It's about our health. It's about our relationships. Don't we all want to have strong, healthy, beautiful relationships? It's about the way we have beliefs that maybe have limited us, and we're ready to bust through those boundaries and have a greater experience of living fully in lines with this principle. What was that? Amen. Amen. How about an amen? Amen? Put a period behind it or an exclamation point. There you go. So we are going to decorate our tree. Every week I will come in and I will take all of the cards that come in the gold box or whenever, however we collect them, and I will put a leaf on the tree, me or part of the committee. We're going to attach those leaves to this tree so we can watch it fill out with the 50 leaves that we intend to get there. We set our goals based upon last year's budget and what giving is like, and we try and make it reasonable. And so our goal, our financial goal is the $85,000. That is not the only money we will get from the plate, but it is what we are needing in order to sustain the costs of having church here. And all I want to do is get you as excited as the committee was in that what we do here is important to the world. I think it's perfect that Elza was up here telling you about some of the ways that we give to the outside community. So that donation is from all of you. It's a percentage of our income. So we tithe to our home office, to CSL, but a portion of that we tithe to something more local. And the purpose of the Projects of Love was so beautifully illustrated today is just to, they get to decide who that is. So if you ever have any ideas who you would like us to consider that donation for, please see Elza, who is currently sits as the head of that committee. And let's fill up that tree. Let's fill up that tree. You also may notice that there are two photographs of Miss Vitura Papke. This is one that hangs in my office because I don't like to share it with anybody. I adore the fact that I'm here and she was here once too. And I think I'm probably spunky like her too. And then there's another picture over here next to my chair from 1935. She was so beautiful. If you get a chance, come up and see the pictures of her. So this was probably after she retired here, or just before she retired here, and she loved roses, so it's very sweet to see all the pink and the beautiful flowers that she took so much pride in. I want to tell you a little story about Vitura and how she conducted her own spiritual practice. So this is a little story that pops out on the minister's listserv about once a year or every other year at least. Somebody has to tell the story again, and it's so fun. I rejoice in sharing it with you. Vitura took treatment very seriously, and she was a great manifester. She was able to effectively pray and was very powerful in the things that were demonstrated from her spoken words of prayer. And she had a way that in her personal practice, she would groom her own consciousness into the conviction of the prayers to be answered. So she had a very busy clientele. She did practitioner work and had a full schedule of seeing clients, and was very potent in her conviction for the way that prayer works. And that's the kind of practitioner you want to sit with. That's where you got something you can't quite push yourself through. That's the kind of practitioner you want to look for. Someone that will stand in that truth and hold that way so that the way is paved. Because, you know, as Emma Curtis Hopkins always said, as much as you want your good wants you. And so we have this beautiful story of Vitura, who used to go out in her front yard, and there was a big lush green tree in her front yard, and she would go and get this, they had this galvanized tub, you know, something that I would wash the dog in it, but I imagine people pounded clothes clean or something, I don't know. Nobody ever pounded clothes clean? I lived in Asia. I watched people pound their clothes clean. So Vitura would take this galvanized tub, and she would carry it out to the front yard. Now, I'm looking at Elsa thinking that would be the galvanized tubs I know were pretty wide, so that would be a little tricky. But she'd get the tub, and she would take it out and put it under the tree. And then she would start her treatment, and she would declare that this was a money tree, and that she was going to harvest all the money and more than she needed, so that she would understand in a very visceral way that God is her source. Not the number at the end of your bank account, not the job that writes your check. It's that source that we become comfortable relying on when we realize nothing is ever withheld from us. And this teaching is based upon that and so much more. So she would pick money. She would imagine that there were different denominations of bills on that tree, and she'd pick them, she'd gather them, and then she'd throw them in that galvanized tub, and then she'd pick some more. She'd go to the other side and pick, and in her front yard, pick and pick, and she'd do that until she felt the tub was full. Then she would pick it up, and she would carry it back in the house, and she would dump it in her bathtub. And then she would go outside and get some more money. And she would do that until she was completely convinced that the prayer was answered. Because, you know, that one of the unique things we teach about prayer is a beautiful form of affirmative prayer that has five steps to it, and it's not too hard to learn. But what we know is you're not begging God for that to be real. She was doing that as a spiritual practice where there is that physical way. Sometimes we say you do the prayer, but you move your feet, that there's an action connected to it, and it's just like any other ritual that you can embody it. You're more likely to embody the reality of what the symbolism all stands for. And so if I'm trying to remember how prosperous I am, then I'm going to look at the way, and I think it was Clyde earlier, was just talking about that you see that we witness, oh, it was probably Tracy, I don't know. We witnessed that the prosperous nature of life itself that is everywhere around you. And I think leaves on a tree is a perfect example. Do you ever try to count the leaves on a big tree? You know, it's like there, it seems infinite. It's not, but it seems like it because it's so out of our realm of understanding, that prolific abundance of nature. Holmes sometimes called it the wastefulness, the lavish wastefulness of nature. I rather like that. So Vitura would pray until she felt it. She said it something would click, and she would go, "Oh, I've got it. That prayer is done. I've done it. That prayer is done." So whatever it was that she was treating for in terms of that idea of prosperity, she created this little exercise so that she could be involved in it, and she would do that to convince herself that in consciousness, in terms of consciousness, that it was done. We're told that her husband eventually built a tall fence around the front yard because he was a little concerned about her having a proper privacy to, as she went about her work in consciousness. He's probably worried about more than that. But Vitura used to say that if you do those things in love, imagine that. Imagine you're doing your spiritual practice. You're demonstrating love in the way that you go about whatever it is that you're doing. That there is a feeling and healing power that goes along with that. Now, we teach that all year long, not just this month. We teach that all year long, that there's something that happens when we start believing that we are worthy, that we can heal an illness, or that we can forgive something, that a wound from our past, that nothing can stand in the way of the goodness and givingness of God, then everything shifts around. And it actually, the kind of work that Vitura was doing is that work where a physical action creates a sense of feeling in terms of consciousness, but not just consciousness, but feeling it, owning it, embodying it in your entire being. The classical metaphysicians called that involution. And it's where there's that inward response. You know, it's like you're praying and then all of a sudden you just feel, oh, yeah, it's like you can sense the presence of God right there with you. So we know that biologically, there's a shift that happens, and there's actually a change in the chemistry of our brain. Once we get there, we actually do some kind of shift, and I think that that's what that passage from Romans is all about, that as we renew our minds, we think other thoughts other than just, oh, I can't, or I don't have enough, or all your reasons why you limit yourself in terms of receiving your good. When we realize that we can open ourselves to receive, that we don't just give, but we have to give and receive, so that we are practicing the law of circulation. Your body understands this. Something gets clogged up in your body, you don't feel very good. Right? And it's a universal aspect of the nature of life. What happens if a tree falls across the brook? Where does the water go now? You know, the water will dam up, but eventually the water will find its way around that tree and make a new path, because it is the nature of life. And so we stand in that place that we know we can transform our lives as we renew our thoughts. And that expands the possibilities immensely. So we are going to physically do something to bring our tree to life. And I am looking at it as our tree of thanks, our tree of gratitude. November is a great time to do this because it is a month-long idea of gratitude, Thanksgiving. And so our tree will represent your commitments, and we have a lot of gratitude for that. So the way the pledge works is that you are not attached to that number that you pledge. If something in your life changes, you just let us know, and we adjust that. We don't hold you to it. We don't send late notices, though some people have accused us of that. We do not do that. If you interpret Your giving, I always say to the board, it's like, I can't do anything about the consciousness in which people receive things. But I do my best every Sunday to invite you to see that this is a way we give and we keep things flowing. So the board of trustees is at that point where we are trying to create our budget for next year. We already did our first pass through. Now we will accumulate your pledge amounts, and then once we have those pledge amounts, we now can see what realistically we can plan for next year. We can't add any programs if we don't, we want a real budget. I have to commend your board. They are wonderful at trying to do things well. And boy, have we, in 7 years I've been here, we've cleaned up so many things that we have a real working budget now. It just makes me happy. Sometimes I get a little teary at the board meeting. It's so exciting for me. But what I want you to think about is that when Ventura was picking money off the tree, I want to take you back to principles. So what are we imagining? When we're talking about filling our tree with leaves here so that it won't be naked anymore, he'll quit blaming the women on it. So when we fill up our tree, what are we aiming to manifest? It's not a tub full of money. What we're aiming to manifest is a solid foundation that is seeding our future so that we can expect a stable and a realistic income that will meet our needs and more than meets our needs. And so that's how you get to participate. I'm very excited because I think we can do 50 cards really easily. Ventura wrote in her little section on love, "Love is the highest gift of heaven, the greatest gift on earth. It is an invisible force, an all-conquering power that heals all things. Love is that which relaxes, revitalizes, and restores. It is always drawing good to us." Love, Holmes said, is the most powerful force in the universe. So our goal is to love what we have here. You know, we have this great gift of this beautiful building that's about to get even beautifuler. So we did really good on the sale. We had made about $2,200 at our sale last weekend for the painting. We're getting ready to do the exterior of the building. And after that $2,200, we got another check for $2,500 from somebody that wanted to contribute to that program. And then Judy Baker, I have no idea how, but she went to, she dragged our stuff, all the leftover stuff, to another Sun City Grand or something and made another few hundred dollars. And so, you know, it looks like maybe we're going to, almost safe to say, we will have made $5,000 from that effort last weekend. So we clean up the exterior of the building, then we're ready to look at what other things we want to do. But I want to be sure you know that that has nothing to do with this program. This program is how we pay the keep the air conditioning on and pay you the salary of the staff. And your minister, of course, really appreciates that. And it's how we show up as good stewards. Ernest Holmes chimed in. I looked up Ernest and love, quotes on love from Ernest, and I found this gorgeous quotation where he says, "Jesus knew what we all must learn, that we cannot have an attitude of dislike or hate without robbing ourselves of that healing power, of that sense of the comforting presence of God. The universe itself rests on the shoulders of love." Oh, I love that. The universe itself rests on the shoulders of love. So we are seeding the future this month. We are resting on those shoulders of love, and we are going to stand strong in imagining, in affirming that our community is vibrant and vital and healthy in every way, and that these are going to be, this tree will be covered with leaves of well-being that represent the prosperous nature of life, that we are going to stand strong in knowing that there is nothing that can stop us from our good. We have lots more work to do in the future. We've been here 40 over 40 years, and we have lots more work. And the West Valley is changing. We, you know, one day we will be Central Phoenix Valley, they tell me. So continue the good work you're doing. Thank you for being a part of this beloved community. I think the most important thing we can do is just stand aligned to knowing that there is an infinite power in the universe that is for us. There is a power for good that is greater than we are. We can use it, and that's what we're doing, paying attention to be good stewards this month. So thank you for listening. But I would like to anchor these words in some very sound prayer right now. So as I imagine Vitura taking her galvanized tub to the tree in the front yard, I'm going to ask all of the practitioners and the ministers that are present today to please stand and let's surround the sanctuary. And let's just take a moment to take a nice deep cleansing breath so that we can let go of all the busy details of business. We just release it and know that we have seeded this program, that the work we have done today is solid so that we might move forth through this month in joyous expectation. In that spirit of success, in that beautiful way, we are learning yet again the truth of the goodness of this gorgeous universe. And so I feel the presence of spirit right here in this room. I feel the love of God within me. And I recognize it as that very activity of life, that way in which there is movement, there is assurance, there is comfort, there is beauty in this universe, there is order, and it is perfect order. It reveals the wisdom of the Creator, and it is an infinite intelligence that has created all of this where one piece fits perfectly with the next piece. I feel the love of God within me, and I know it is that same stirring that each person here has, that same indwelling truth, that the presence of God is right where we are. In fact, there is no place where God is not. And so whatever it is that we move through, whatever circumstances or conditions we seem to travel through, we see that it is just a part of this great journey of life, and that divine intelligence is always there guiding and guarding and protecting and directing so that we cannot help but be in the perfect place at the perfect time. And where there is any appearance of something different than that, we recognize that there is this intelligence in every cell of our body that is healing us, that is bringing us to wholeness, to be restored to that vibrant, vital activity of breathing and living and our hearts beating in beautiful, perfect health. Always within us is that which is untouched by outer affairs. And so I know that where there is a strained relationship, that something washes over us even now. And we are purified to see that there are ways for us to connect again. That this demonstration of a beloved community shows us that when several cords are wound together, they become very strong. This is the way we worship. This is the way we come together and support each other. This is the beauty of spiritual community. And how grateful I am to know that the good we seek in our own lives is enhanced as we join in that beloved community in a sense of joining. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, infinite spirit. I'm so grateful for these blessings that we are aware of in this moment, and for the way those blessings will be amplified even before we arrive at our homes. And in that spirit of deep, deep gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into the law, knowing it is absolutely and completely already done. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.